Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on TalkingAlternative.com and on talk radio network stations around the country. Great episode here today. Actually, I'm back in the studio for the first time in a couple of weeks because last week I was on the road celebrating the birthday. Beautiful Janice is here. How are you? My buddy Sam, my special guest Gerard Zara, who's going to be joining us here for part of the second session of the of the show. We're going to be talking about his movie that we have up on our website on coffeetalkradio.com. Coming out of his
career, quote-unquote career.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be talking about that. But hey, I just got back, actually. I had a great birthday. Last week was my birthday. That was why we weren't live last week. I did a replay of an episode that we had done before the show had become syndicated. And people that were listening on AM and FM stations around the country didn't realize that because of my editing skills. But it was actually an episode from before Thanksgiving. And actually, there was one glitch. Okay, so I'm not an expert editor, right?
Okay.
Very raw to it, very, very new to it.
Sure.
And so I was going through and I'm trying to edit it so that it seems as though that it's just happening right now. And what happened was Janice was actually in the studio that day. And we had a woman call in. I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was a woman that called in. We were talking about Bill Cosby and et cetera. And what happened was, as I was going through, I edited her completely out of it because it kind of date stamped it. You know what I mean? It kind of stamped the time because the way we were talking about the subject, it made it obvious that it was before Thanksgiving. I don't know if it was just lazy. I'm going to be honest. It's probably just laziness. But I didn't listen to the whole episode before I sent it off. And so I was listening to the episode on Sunday on my iPhone. I was actually, it was Sunday. I was coming back from Boston. I was in Boston I was in Boston twice. And so I was on the way back. I was listening to the episode. I was listening to the broadcast out of a station that we are on the air down in Florida. Everything was cool. You know, I was feeling pretty good about myself and my editing skills. And then all of a sudden, you hear me go, "Hey, well, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you again sometime." Oh, thank you. You know, and it was like this random. So anybody that was listening to Florida is like, or anywhere in the country, would have been like, was there a guest on the show?
You were doing like a Tarantino edit, though. It was intentional.
It was good, man. Yeah, just to get people thinking, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I had a great week, man. I turned 45, and which obviously is a milestone age, you know what I mean? Actually, I said 2 weeks ago on the show that puts me at about a quarter-life crisis, hopefully, right? And I've made it this far and still don't have gray hair, which is nice, you know? But the beard and the goatee are getting pretty white. And still in decent health, I would say, you know what I mean? I'm getting to that age now. You know, they say that you, for men, you know that you're getting old when police officers and Major League Baseball players are younger than you. That's kind of like what you, yeah. And so not a lot of 45-year-old guys still playing ball right now. So I know that like now I'm getting old, you know. But I went up to Vermont. I hadn't actually been to Vermont. Had a little bit of a cold, maybe from Vermont. I'm not sure. Actually, I want to blame it on Boston, man. So I went up to Vermont and establishing some great relationships for Coffee Talk. And for Coffee Talk 3.0 and for coffeetalkradio.com, we've got some new sponsors that are going to be coming in on the show here as far as commercial airtime and just our social media giveaway of the week, which will be coming up later on. And this week is sponsored by Elegant Crochets, which I'll talk about in a little while. It's for the lady. Well, I mean, if you want a crocheted top, I mean, yeah, I can probably work it out.
We're in New York, man.
I went to
art school. That's okay.
Hey, it's the 80s, man. You know, we're good. Right? And so I was up there, and two of the companies that are going to be forming a business relationship with us here at Coffee Talk are maple syrup companies, you know, because they have an online presence. So I actually went to a maple syrup. I don't want to say it's a factory. It's a farm. Okay, it's a maple syrup distributor, and got an education on how maple syrup. Let me tell you something, man. For the business people out there, if you're looking to invest in something, dude, maple syrup is it is liquid gold. I mean, I was stunned when they were telling me about the entire process. I was at Smith's Maple Crest Farm, which is also now a sponsor of the social media giveaway of the week. We're giving away a half a pint of real pure Vermont maple syrup a week for the next 30 weeks, Sam. We got a lot of maple syrup to give away. And so they're advertising on coffeetalkradio.com and giving a discount. And but they took me on a little tour. And they were telling me about like their process and whatnot. And they've got, you know, so like in my mind, growing up in Vermont as a kid, you know, you're thinking basically, you know, tin cans, tin buckets, you know, with a spout, you know, they hammer the spout in, you know, like you see in the movies, you know what I mean? Which actually was the way that they did it. And it takes, when they boil it down, when they boil down the sap, you know, it's the sap from a maple tree, and apparently it's limitless for the most part. They boil it down. It takes 11 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup.
Ooh, wow.
So they're collecting a ridiculous amount of sap, right? And they had 15, they have a farm that has like 1,500 taps, basically. And they're all actually connected by tubing now, and there's a pump, and it all works with a vacuum and brings everything down to the they got to constantly be checking for like holes in the lines and whatnot. But they were telling me that there is actually this new maple syrup company. And it's not just maple syrup; it's maple syrup products and maple syrup with 300,000 taps. This company is putting in 300,000 taps on trees. So anyway, I'm up there, and they're telling me that this stuff sells. It's by the pound, even though it's liquid. The pricing of it is by the barrel, kind of like oil, right? Yep. And it comes in 40-gallon drums, and they're getting upwards of, at one point it was 99¢ per pound, 11 pounds to the gallon, 40, so it's 440 pounds per container, and they were getting 99¢, so they were getting basically $440 per container of maple syrup. Okay, now that was only about 15 years ago. Now it's $4 a pound, and so you know you're talking like a ridiculous amount of money. It's literally a better commodity than oil. You know, the amount of money that they're getting for this, and for the amount of work that they have to put in, the amount of work is. It's not that, I mean, it's hard work, obviously, but
for what they're getting, yeah.
For what you're getting it's unbelievable.
Maple and they're syrup independent.
They're selling this stuff for just a ridiculous amount of money. So, in any event, I was up there, and I was rolling with that, and then went to a buddy of mine who owns a Vermont maple syrup farm that they do like a tour. It's kind of like out on Long Island when they have like these wine tours and stuff. They're doing it for... they do it now for maple syrup and maple sugar products. His name is Dave Palmer, and he's coming on board with Coffee Talk Radio also. But anyway, I was up there, and I'm going to talk about this later, but it was cool because I drove, when I went up to Vermont, I drove on Route 7, which takes you from Rutland, Vermont, up to Burlington, Vermont, and that was the exact same route that I cycled 20 years ago on my ride that we've been talking about on the podcast and a broadcast. So when we get to that part in the episode, I'm going to talk about that because it was good to reminisce, man. You know what I mean? And to wrap my head around really how far, you know, I cycled 20 years ago. And so then I went so I was up in Vermont. So that was my birthday. It was Monday. And then Tuesday, I had to go to Boston. And, dude, I can't even wrap my head around how much snow they got in Boston. It's ridiculous. They set a record. Actually, before this particular snowfall the other day, they were at 108 inches. There were still mounds like 4 feet high of snow in Boston, but I got hired to do like this safety video, which are always interesting when you're hired to do these things, you know, pharmaceuticals or safety videos, because it's not acting, you know, it's you know, you're like a spokesman and it's a teleprompter and you're talking right to the camera. So it's 11-minute safety video that is specific to some particular company, and I have to go through all their safety steps. So now I can tell you what lockout tagout is. Okay, lockout tagout, when you're dealing with fixing machinery that has, like, say it's a something that generates a tremendous amount of energy, whether it's electrical energy or whatever, and they got to fix it and they got to shut it down, and there's like this lockout, locking out the machine, and a tagout so that, you know, you can always be accountable for who is working on it at what time. It's this big, long process. Anyway, when you're doing these commercials, it's a teleprompter, you know, which you would think makes it easy, okay? Now, I have teleprompter experience. You know, I've done commercials. You can go on coffeetalkradio.com right now, and you can see some examples of my commercials, and some of those were done, you know, like the Delta Dental ones, they're done with a teleprompter. You're talking right at the camera, you know what I mean? Dude, I don't know what it is about your mind, how the brain works or whatever, but you can be looking right at the words and somewhere between your eye and your mouth, everything goes haywire. And it'll be like this thing where, like, you have to cut, you know, you go back and you start again, and you'll still keep missing that one word. Your mind is completely skipping over it. Or you'll suddenly, like, I'll be reading the top of a line, I'll get to the last word on to the right of that line, and for some reason the word right under that word seems really nice to me, and I just want to say it. And so you end up just skipping entire chunks of this, man. So anyway, I was there for that, then I came back. And I'm gonna briefly tell this quick story. Okay, this is one reason why I don't like Boston. Okay,
one reason. That's it.
One reason besides the Red Sox. Okay, so I'm there. So I go back on Sunday. I'm gonna do Reader's Digest. Okay, 2 minutes. All right, I'm gonna do Reader's Digest version of this. I may have to leak this over in the next part, or continue it later. But in any event, I'm on my way to Boston. I'm going to a concert. All right, Cold War Kids, which is a pretty cool kind of indie band or whatever. They tweet out, hey, free tickets if you're the first person to tweet at one of the guitarists. I think it's a bassist, right? I just happen to see it. So I tweet at him like, hey, man, I'll take the tickets, right? So I win these free tickets by Cold War Kids, you know? So I go to Will Call. We go in. I still end up dropping, like, you know, a couple of bones on the night. I mean, I dropped probably $200. It was at House of Blues in Boston. So anyway, I go outside. I'm with two other people. They're in coat check waiting. Everyone's kind of filtering out. Like, there isn't a lot of people out in front. You know what I mean? I'm standing there, and I'm waiting for my friends. And the girl goes, you need to move away from here. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I'm just waiting for my friends. She's like, no, you need to move now. And I was like, oh, really? And I've said this on the show before. I'm a pretty nice guy, right? I'm not a guy that has a lot of enemies. But what I don't like is people telling me what to do. And I don't like people taking advantage of me. And I learned at a young age, because I was the runt of the litter, man, when I was little. You got to stick up for yourself, man. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, well, I'm just here on the sidewalk. And I tell you what, I'll leave in a second because my friends. And she just got belligerent. She went from 0 to 100 miles an hour just like that. And she's like, no, you need to get off our property. I was like, oh, really? That's interesting. Because I'm on the sidewalk. And she's like, well, we own the sidewalk. And I'm like, really? You own the side? I mean, because maybe the city of Boston has something to say about that, right? And so things escalated quickly. And I know that we don't have enough time for me to finish this right now, but I'm gonna tease the audience, right? We're going to finish this story later, because this entire thing ended with me on the sidewalk surrounded by three bouncers refusing to move until my friends came out. It worked out in my favor. I'm still here, right? But listen, we'll be back in a couple of minutes here. We'll pause for a commercial real quick. This is Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0, and we'll see you in a second. With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO. 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ILoveKickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ILoveKickboxing.com. Go to ILoveKickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ILoveKickboxing.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on TalkingAlternative.com and on talk radio network stations around the country. And I'm going to finish up my story about Boston a little bit later. And Janice made a great point here. I do think that it is Boston is the reason why I got a cold right now. But I'll finish my story, my altercation with the bouncers at House of Blues. I hope those guys are listening right now. But in the studio today, I do have a special guest, and I've got Gerard Zara here with me, who is independent filmmaker and starting a budding career. And we have his short film is on CoffeeTalkRadio.com. So if you go to CoffeeTalkRadio.com and you go to, actually, if you go CoffeeTalkRadio.com/TV, that's what's playing on it right now. And we met at a screening of this particular short film, and John Dablowski, TV reality star, or
reality TV star.
Yep. Yes, exactly. And great dude, I'm telling you, man, I was dying, man. I think not only was it funny though, but it was really riveting. Just the at first you feel if it's comical, but then you actually feel sorry for the guy.
Sure.
And it's really endearing. So first of all, how did you land on this? How'd you land on this idea for the script? And you know what? Is there somebody in your life that you know that's like that? I don't know.
Oh God, I hope not. They'd be dead by now. The film is John Dablowski, reality TV star, and it's as you said, it's a dark comedy about a man who's delusional and believes he's the star of his own reality TV show, kind of to the frustration of everyone around him. So he walks around, he'll stare at a wall and think it's a camera. You know, he tries to pretend he's friends with people, etc. Yeah, I guess influences just all the reality TV on right now. I mean, it's just you can't.
Because he's kind of like what's his name, Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like what's that dude's name again?
He's the Situation.
The Situation.
You know what?
It's kind of like him.
Yeah. Did you ever see? Do you watch those Comedy Central roasts?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Did you see the Donald Trump one that The Situation was on? I guess this was going back a few years.
No, man, I didn't see it.
Okay, The Situation. Watch. It's on YouTube. It definitely worth 10 minutes of your time.
Nice.
It's just him trying to, you know, do his thing or whatever, and it's a riot.
Yeah, the whole talking about himself in the third person, I think, is just...
Yes, you know. Very... Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of... I mean, and not to make it too much about this particular... I mean, I just go off what I see from him on the show. I'm sure he's a very nice gentleman, but just this whole...
Except the tax evasion thing.
And, you know, the multiple arrests. No, great, upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
You know, you could point out any number of people and just on all these Kardashian, whatever, all these reality TV shows and just people, and people are watching it, you know, people are eating it up and people are emulating these types of characters. When you're talking about, you know, speaking about himself in the third person, like our guy John Dablowski will say something to the effect of, you know, Dablowski this or Dablowski that.
Right.
Sort of standing outside yourself and not really engaging with the world and kind of creating this narrative and this persona about yourself, like a grandiose kind of idea. So so people like that.
And he kind of like, it seems like to me that like that character, which is a metaphor for a lot of people, they're able to kind of hide in this world.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And not really, it's kind of like a safe place almost where they can be whoever they want to and they don't have to confront the issues that they have, or maybe the challenges that they have, and it's their way of just blocking everything mm-hmm, out.
Definitely.
I did find probably one of the funniest parts in the movie actually was when he's walking down the street, yeah. You know, and he stops and a little kid is staring at him, and mm-hmm. and he throws him the headshot. Uh-huh. I thought that was great, man. With the actor, the guy that played John
sure.
Pulaski,
Marco Toriani,
and now. How do you know him? And I'm telling you, he's got, I think he did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And why don't you talk a little bit about him for a second here?
Yeah, Marco Toriani and myself, we both went to high school together, actually, in Hanover Park High School in New Jersey. So there, again, with the Jersey Shore, I was just surrounded by it growing up.
Yeah.
I was pursuing film and, you know, him theater, and we both kind of hooked up in our film class in school, and you know, different, we were always doing creative projects and this and that in high school, and yeah, then I ended up going to NYU to study film and television. Marco went to the New School to study acting, so that was a year-long collaboration in terms of, you know, writing the script, and you know, he was definitely part of the quote-unquote development process mm-hmm. for this dumb little movie, but part of the thing we wanted to, because Marco's a skinny guy and Dabrowski's a pretty skinny guy, we wanted to wanted him to have inappropriately large biceps. We want the type of guy who would just want to emulate these types of figures but doesn't know. And you're a, you know, you're an athlete guy, so we had dumbbells in our apartment, and we would have him, you know, we'd work him out every, you know, every couple. I was his trainer. I was the Mickey to his Rocky. A few days a week for a few months. And it was funny. It would just be like, Mickey, like, you know, push it, screaming. And those thin New York walls, we got some, like, weird stares from our neighbors.
I'm sure, yeah.
It was a fun process doing it with him.
That's cool. How did you land on getting involved with film? Like, were you interested when you were younger? Or how did that kind of develop?
Yeah, my whole life. I guess I mentioned Rocky. I saw that when I was aged. Probably like 9 or so. My mother showed me a bunch of Stallone movies when I was a kid. I think it's because she liked them in the 80s.
Yeah.
Who didn't? Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
he was only like 70 then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So she showed me Rocky, and that was, you know, and I was just completely viscerally overwhelmed by it. Mm-hmm. Just the story and et cetera. And I just, since then, wanted to, I thought that I wanted whatever this thing's making me feel like now, I want to be able to make other people feel like that. And then since then, you move on to other types of, you know, films, whether, you know, the French New Wave and, you know, all that, mm-hmm. you know, stuff.
Yeah. Now, where do you, and you know, so you went to NYU, obviously mm-hmm. you studied film there. And where, like, what's the ultimate goal here? What types of movies do you want to make?
It doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, I love all. I mean, again, there's, because I like so many different types of movies. You know, Dabrowski was a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and a straightforward drama, anything. I mean, one thing that I definitely want to, do whenever I have the opportunity is to shoot on film. We shot Dabrowski on 16mm film.
Oh.
And that was fun. So I guess movies I like now are sort of, I'm like an 80-year-old in a 23-year-old body. I like older movies.
Old soul, man.
Old soul, absolutely. I like the, you know, I like a traditional, you know, rousing musical score, a simplicity, a classical simplicity into, you know, the types of movies that I like to see. So it's stuff like that.
Now, going back to the whole 16mm thing. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first moved here to the city to become an actor, and mm-hmm. of course you're just trying to get your feet wet, sure. and you do student films and stuff like this. So I did a student film mm-hmm. with a woman that was going to NYU, getting her MFA.
Okay.
Okay. And she shot it on 16mm as well. And now is this something specific to NYU that it's like a, is there any particular class that you guys are doing that where it's that's the medium that by which you're filming, or it's just this is just a personal
it was
preference
a, it was a
completely.
Personal well it was I think when I started that school the year before I got in there, it was exclusively film. You shot everything on film, and then digital became an option as, you know, I mean, listen, there's these digital cameras, they had the Alexa and, you know, all that, you know, they put out a beautiful image, definitely. Digital became an option and you could shoot on either digital or film. And since then, people just almost completely switched over to digital.
Except for the old soul. Now, would you do a complete feature in 16mm or would... So that'd be pretty tough, though, wouldn't it?
You want to pay for it?
Yeah, dude, because it's expensive. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, digital is... obviously the camera itself is expensive, but but other than that, I mean, it's...
You're saving money on, you know, stock processing. Geez, yeah. You know, you end up, you know, we edit, obviously, on the computer, so you have to then transfer it to digital. So you're saving a lot of money doing digital, and you could shoot more takes. And some people like the aesthetic because it does put out a nice image. But there's a certain... I mean, for example, a feature film, I believe it's above $1 million or something, it costs more to do it digitally than it does on film currently.
No kidding.
So if you're shooting a small budget film, you know, celluloid film is going to cost quite a bit of money. But at a certain point, it sort of evens out.
Obviously, I've been on set. I've done a lot of projects. And you hear them making decisions about lenses and cameras and et cetera. This particular safety video that I just shot last week in Boston, they filmed it on a 4K, and they were saying that the resolution is so high that they can actually zoom in on the computer and not lose any resolution at all to like a tremendous amount. Mm-hmm. You know, like they wanted different camera angles while we were doing it. They wanted close ups and then kind of like a mid range shot. And so they just shot it.
Oh, they use the same shot.
The same
right?
shot, man. Yeah, they just use the 4K and they're doing it that way. Listen, Gerard, we're going to go to commercial, but I'm going to have you on for the second section here. We're going to continue the conversation, and then I'll move on to the going back to my Boston story.
Yes.
You say, yeah, you want to hear the end of this story, man.
Staying.
Yeah, how could you not, right? So we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes, and we do need to pause for station identification around the Talk Radio Network, and you're listening here from the flagship studios at TalkingAlternative.com. I'm Kevin Barbaro. This is Coffee Talk 3.0.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com. With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports by calling 516-771-LIMO. You can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO, 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Yeah, welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country. And make sure that you check out the podcast. Now, what you're listening to on the radio right now is the edited down version, but if you want the full meal deal, if you want to hear the extended version of the show, just go to coffeetalkradio.com, and you'll be able to go to the current episode right now. But there's also the archive page. You can listen to past episodes, particularly as it gets to the podcast and a broadcast, my ongoing story from my biography, Green, Red, Green, where I talk about, like right now, I'm talking about my cycling trip from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to Burlington, Vermont, 1,200 miles, 11 days, brother.
Oof.
In August, 95. How old were you in 95?
I was negative.
Negative?
I was like four, probably, something like that.
Okay, yeah, no, awesome. Yeah.
And I would have been right there. I was on my training wheels.
Yeah,
right there with you.
And stay with us here also for the rest of the episode, because we have the social media giveaway of the week, which is sponsored by Elegant Crochets. You can check them out at www.etsy.com/shop/elegantcrochets, or just go to coffeetalkradio.com and click on the ad. And we'll also be giving away a half a pint of Vermont pure maple syrup, like we will every day, every week for the next 30 weeks. So anyway, here in the studio, I got independent filmmaker Gerard Zara, and we were talking cameras earlier. And it's funny, I used to be a college coach, you know, for like 20-something mm-hmm. years. And you've got like this, and I find this in filmmaking and in what we live in mm-hmm. the art world here. In running, in track and field, you have like this cross section of guys, and it's usually guys.
Mm-hmm.
This cross section of guys, they know every shoe and every style and every, you know what I mean? And they talk about it like they're people,
sure,
or something, you know what I mean? And then you run into dudes in our world, uh-huh. in the art world. It's they're like that about cameras and everything uh-huh. else. And they're so like, they'll name everything right down to the serial number. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, dude, you're like speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And they're so, but you know, I think that they get so fixated on that.
It's like, just run faster.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there comes a point where I kind of think, like, yeah, exactly. You know, you can have the best equipment in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a story,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if you don't have the acting behind it, then what are you doing? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like you're spending so much time educating yourself on all this aspect of it that you may be missing kind of the boat on what's mm-hmm. really important.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? And that was the way it was with runners too. You know, they're so fixated on the shoe, but it's mm-hmm. like, dude, you know,
you still have to move.
You
got to
train.
At some
yeah,
point, yeah,
yeah, yeah. You got to be good, yeah. man. You know what I mean? That $200 pair of shoes. It's, Now, when you graduated from NYU, we'll get back to this, and like every artist here in New York City, and there are hundreds of thousands of us, right, you got to get a job, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, it's New York City, man. And we were having a conversation before we came in
sure.
here that you landed a great gig right now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the gig you got over at Showtime?
Yeah, I'm working at Showtime as a production assistant. Yeah, working in boxing and doing different things. It's been fun there. I mean, let me disclaimer, I don't want any of my dumb comments to be affiliated with my employer in any way. I do not speak on behalf of Showtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they're going to try and get a situation show in a few years. I have no idea.
Yeah, but we were talking also about the whole boxing thing and mm-hmm. just how it's blown up here. And now it was Showtime and the Mayweather fight.
Sure.
Mayweather and Pacquiao.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be
huge.
It already is huge. It hasn't even happened yet. Mm-hmm. It's literally going to be the big. It may surpass. I want to say this past Super Bowl was the most watched television show in history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I think that fight might come close to be doing the same thing. But we were talking earlier at the diner before the show. When I was a kid, boxing was gigantic. I mean, boxing, anybody that's over the age of 30 can remember when everybody knew every boxer's name. You knew what belt they held. And it was like a soap opera. There was interconnecting stories, and everybody had a nickname. That's what I love about it, man. It's like the nickname thing. Uh-huh. And I'm actually kind of like a nickname guy. Mm-hmm. Like, to my credit, like, this is no exaggeration, dude. I have given out over 50 nicknames to people.
Oh, sure.
That have stuck to the point where those people are only known by that name. And like, I'm like the king of nicknames. I used to coach this girl at...
Do you have one for me right now?
Not yet, man. Okay. It's, you know, it's,
right,
it's,
we got to let it marinate.
It's got to brew. Art, yeah. It's got to brew, man. And then it just comes out, you know? But like, we had this one girl that I used to coach at University of Toledo. She showed up for the team pitchers one time. She was rocking like this 1950s coif of a hair. It looked great, you know what I mean? It's like, so I literally just started calling her Hair. That's it, just Hair.
Generic. Simple. And
to the
minimalist
point where, after about a year, some people were like, so then I would say, oh yeah, Amanda. And they're like, who's Amanda? I'm like, I don't know, Hair, right? Your teammate. Oh, that's her real name, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. We had a guy. Actually, you remind me of a guy that I went to college with. You kind of got the same look. The only difference in the look that you guys have, are you Irish?
Italian.
You're Italian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I fool a lot of people.
Yeah, man, you look Irish, right? Yeah. So we had this Irish guy who lived on my floor, but he was only like 5'1" or something. So started calling him Little Sprout. You know, Little Sprout from the Jolly Green Giant commercials? I don't even know what his real name is anymore,
to this day.
To this day, I don't even know. So anyway, dude, I'm going to get back to my story from Boston.
Sure.
All right? And because this was interesting. So I'm out in front, and I picking up from where I left off, I get done telling the girl that I spent a couple hundred bucks in there. You know, I'm on the sidewalk. I'm not in the establishment. I'm on the sidewalk, man. So then she throws at me, you need to get off our property. It was 0 to 100 miles an hour with this girl. You need to get off our property right now. I work here. And I go, why would I care about that? You know? And so, no exaggeration. I kind of pride myself on being a fairly tough guy, but I'm not a guy that starts fights, right? But I'm not an easy guy to push around, right? But I was looking at it like, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to hone my craft, right? Let's see, subconsciously here, let's see how tough I can be. Like, if I was filming a movie right now, how intimidating can I be? You know what I mean? And I think actors do this all the time. You know, you may practice, if you're driving a cab as your extra job, you may practice different types of accents or whatever on the customers. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm going to see how tough I can be right now. Right. So she's like, well, I'm going to get the bouncer. I was like, go ahead, get the bouncer. Right. And so this guy comes over, and he's one of those guys that, like, he looks like he would be really tough because he has a shaved head and he has a goatee, and he's kind of a bigger guy. You know what I mean? He probably outweighed me by, I don't know, like 70 pounds, something like this. But those guys aren't usually that strong. They just look, you know, the part, you know what I mean? Which is half the battle, right? You know what I mean? And so he comes up to me, and I said, dude, I'm telling you right now, I'm not moving. I'm on the sidewalk. I'm not moving. So he gets up in front of me, and he starts pushing me. And I'm pushing back. I literally don't want to move not one inch. You know what I mean? So we get to about halfway through the sidewalk. I'm almost to the street now. You know what I mean? It's a wide sidewalk, man. It's like 10 feet wide. You know what I mean? And I kept telling him, like, dude, you don't own the sidewalk. All right. I'm not moving. It's a public sidewalk. And they're like, well, we have a permit. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you're a genius, right? You have a permit to use the sidewalk, not to own the sidewalk, so I'm not moving. So finally got to the point where, like, and I'm in this, like, actor mode, right? I pulled it off, man. Luckily, because, I mean, he probably would have kicked my ass. I'm going to be honest with you, you know? So I'm just like, listen, I'm telling you right now, if you move me, if you push me even one more inch, then you're going to regret it. And I was dead serious, looking him right in the eye.
I got scared right now.
Yeah, you can feel that, right? I want John Dabrowski on here. And he stopped pushing, right? And then there was like three of them, and they were surrounding me. And I just kept saying that. I said, listen, I'm not moving until my friends come out. And they're like, well, we can get the cops. I'm like, go ahead and get the cops. I don't care. What are they going to do? Nothing. They're not going to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so, as a matter of fact, to the point at which a couple of cops actually walked out and walked past us, and these guys didn't even say anything to them because, you know what I mean? I was calling the bluff the whole way, and then my friends came out and we left. But it was, we walk away high-fiving because, A of all, I didn't get my butt kicked, right? which probably would have happened, let's be honest. Mm. But it was like this great little opportunity for me to act like a guy that's way tougher than I really am. So that was my experience with Boston, man. And thank you, House of Blues. I'll just call them out right now. But now I'm sipping hot tea because I think I got a cold from the entire experience. So, but anyway, had a great week regardless of my experience up there at Boston with the bouncers, and just got back. Another streak is still alive here, and the streak is that I've actually booked a paid acting gig for 20 months in a row now. 20 months already. That's not bad, man, seeing as how I've only been in this profession for 24 months. And so, you know, but the thing is, I still want to do theater, though. You know what I mean? I said this before, like, because that's where you really learn. Aside from being on a street in front of a House of Blues learning or honing my craft, you know, being in theater, that's where you really hone it. You know what I mean? And we talked last week or 2 weeks ago on the show about my experience in playing Father Flynn in Doubt. And how it related to my life. And then also, I didn't really touch on this, but, you know, another great role that I played was the antagonist in 12 Angry Men, and which is my favorite play. And so I did that here in the city, where I played the racist juror who was trying to swing everybody. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's great because, you know, both of those plays, I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I think that every high school senior should have to read both the play Doubt and 12 Angry Men, because they are both a huge lesson in the difference between perception and reality, and how in many cases it doesn't even matter what the truth is. What sometimes only matters in life is how things are perceived to be, not necessarily what they are. And I think every kid should have to read both of those, particularly 12 Angry Men. I think 12 Angry Men by far is one of the greatest plays that have ever written. And the movie itself in 1958, hello, I mean, a classic. Listen, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. And when we do, we're going to have the social media giveaway. And we're going to be picking up on my podcast and a broadcast. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO. 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined Light Lift Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ILoveKickboxing.com. Go to ILoveKickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ILoveKickboxing.com. And welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Talk Radio Network stations around the country, and we're broadcasting from our flagship studios here in New York City at TalkingAlternative.com, and we just wrapped up with our special guest, Gerard Zahr. Make sure that you go to CoffeeTalkRadio.com/TV, and you can see the short film, John Dablofsky, reality TV star that we were just talking about a little while ago, and some of his other works on there as well. But and in a couple of minutes, we're going to have the social media giveaway of the week, sponsored by SmithMapleCrestFarms.com and also sponsored by Elegant Crochets, and we're going to give that away. But in the meantime, we're going to go back to, we missed last week the podcast and broadcast because we weren't live. But we're going back to the story, the ongoing story from my biography, Green, Red, Green, about the time that I had cycled from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to Burlington, Vermont, 1,200 miles, did it in 11 days, August of 1995. So this is the 20-year anniversary of that. Even making it even more relevant, I was just in Vermont, Sam, and I was driving up Route 7, which is the route that was the final stretch on that ride. That was day 11, and I basically biked from Bennington, Vermont, which is the southwest corner of Vermont, and made my way up to Rutland and then Route 7 up to Burlington. So I'd made that entire stretch of Vermont in that final day. When I got to Burlington, actually, just to do it, just to kind of cap it off, I did 100 push-ups. Now, those 100 push-ups did not happen all sequentially. It was brutal, man. I mean, after 11 days, man. And I talked about last time in the last broadcast about that I talked about this. I talked about how I actually had passed the sun. And meaning that, you know, the sun, when I started the ride, because I started in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it was August, the sun was rising and setting slightly in front of me. And then by the time I get to Vermont, the sun was rising and setting slightly behind me the whole way. And I also talked about how, dude, I'm telling you right now, the wind was in my face the entire time. And I ended the last episode by talking about how the reality, which I barely ever talk about this, is one of the reasons why I did this was to impress a girl, Janice. Making it even worse, she wasn't impressed. It got me nowhere, man. But whatever. But along that ride, okay, and you know, I pick up the last time that we were talking, I had made it to Williamsburg, Virginia. 196 miles I had to ride on that third day so that I could kind of catch back up to where I should be, and then start moving on from there. And it was interesting because, and I'll tell you, you know, I kind of made my way up through Virginia, and there was one particular day that stood out in my mind. As a matter of fact, when I look back at the trip, there have been a couple of places that I have been in my lifetime where it's been so stunningly beautiful in one way or another that I'll never forget it. You know what I mean? This ride, I had a couple of those moments. One of those moments happened on about the fifth day of the ride. Now, I'd spent the night in Washington, D.C. with some great friends of mine that work on the Hill, okay? So in one day, I went from Washington, D.C. to like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, okay? Now it's about maybe 110 miles-ish, something along those lines, as you're working your way up from Washington, D.C. up into southeastern Pennsylvania, okay? And it was an interesting day because all in one day, I was in the middle of Washington, D.C., and then in that same day, later on that afternoon, I was in total Amish country, you know, Amish or Mennonite country, you know? And there was one particular spot that I had gotten to, and I wish I could remember exactly where the spot was so that I could actually go back to it. But my mind, it's 20 years, 20 years of hard living, man, since that happened. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was in Amish country. Anyway, I'm riding, and it's all Amish for the most part. You see the buggies going by and everything else. You see these huge, massive, gorgeous farms that were made by hand by these families and whatnot. And I got to the top of this hill, and it's you're starting to get fairly mountainous there. I get to the top of this hill, and I was exhausted when I got to the top of it. But I remember I get to the top, I get off my bike, and I turn around and I looked back on the landscape of what I had just gone through. And I'm telling you, it was like this really beautiful kind of epiphany of life, where like I'm 5 days into this, it's like the halfway point, so it's kind of all downhill from here. Well, I wish it was all downhill from that point, but it really wasn't downhill, literally, because I still had to go through the Poconos. But I remember just thinking like how beautiful everything is, and how no matter where you feel like you are in your life, whether you feel like you're kind of rock bottom-ish, or maybe you're riding a high or whatever, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's happening to you, life is going on without you. It's kind of like, so I stand there and I look and I see all these people interacting, and I see this beautiful landscape and this beautiful farm, and it's like, I'm pretty inconsequential in the general scheme of life here, which means that my problems are pretty inconsequential. You know what I mean? That you're always going to be able to get through no matter what the adversity is. I'm 5 days into a ride where, at that point I'm approximately 600 miles in, from where I started, and seemingly a headwind the whole way, which sometimes life feels like that. Seems like no matter what way you turn, you can't get out of the headwind. You know what I mean? And there were a couple of times, like I mentioned on the last episode, where I literally stopped, threw my bike into the cornfield, and was just cussing, kind of pulling a, Planet of the Apes thing, damn you, all the hell, and, but I was able to persevere through the entire thing, and that whole ride, I remember feeling the whole time, the further I got into it, it wasn't like it got any easier. Okay, it didn't get any easier to cycle as I was going. It was still difficult. Every day was still exhausting, but it was like you learned how to deal with it. You know what I mean? You learned how to just kind of come to grips with the situation that you were in and realize that it's not going to get any worse and that eventually it's going to get better. And it's such a metaphor for just life in general, because sometimes we feel like it's just, there's no end to what we're going through, but the mere fact that you're still going through it, which means everything is fine. Everything's going to work out. You know what I mean? Because it's not the end of the world. And I was able to kind of really realize that about my life and about just life in general on that ride. So in that one day, that fifth day, going from middle of Washington, D.C. to beautiful Amish country was amazing. And remember, I said earlier, a few broadcasts ago, that somebody had stolen my helmet. I stopped. I had to get milk, man. I don't even drink milk. I was craving strawberry quick. Okay, craving strawberry milk. So I go in, I get strawberry milk, I come out, my bike, my helmet's gone. You couldn't have stole the bike, right? You got to steal the helmet. So I ride the rest of the way. So I'm going through that next day, actually, from Amish country. I rode from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, up to the Delaware Water Gap, and I had to go through the Poconos. And matter of fact, talk about wishing that life was going to be downhill from there. Dude, I went through the Poconos. There was one, I remember being on this one particular hill, okay, that was so steep that I literally could have gotten off my bike. I had it in the lowest gear, and you feel like you're riding a tricycle when you're in the lowest gear, I was going so slow, horizontally, that I literally felt like just getting off the bike and walking, because I thought that I was going to be able to walk up this hill faster than I was biking it. But on the way down, which was nice, dude, no helmet. I don't recommend this to anybody. And I'm not actually even trained to do this, so I shouldn't have been doing it. But I got over 60 miles an hour on my bike going downhill as I made it through the other side of the Poconos. And I got to this one spot where you had to cross like this river, and there was this huge bridge, and there was no shoulder. It was a two-lane bridge, no shoulder. I'm at the top of this hill, and I just basically figured, well, I just got to gun it, right? So I gun it down this hill, and I'm hiking. I get to the bridge, and I'm taking a lane. I'm basically taking a lane because there's no breakdown lane. And I'm telling you, it was like a Stephen King novel. There were dead birds. There were like hundreds of dead birds all along this bridge. And I basically thought that, like, you know, the gates of hell were going to open up on me or something. So anyway, that's my story. Listen, please check out for our social media giveaway of the week. Please check out Elegant Crochets. If you go to coffeetalkradio.com, you'll be able to see the ads for it. We're giving away to one lucky female listener, and we'll have it up on social media later this week. Someone who's following me either on Twitter or on Facebook, go to facebook.com/coffeetalkradio and you'll be entered automatically. And it's Elegant Crochets. It's a beautiful crocheted top. And you're also going to get a half a pint of Vermont Real Maple Syrup from smithmaplecrestfarm.com. I'm Kevin Barbro. We'll be back with you next week on Coffee Talk 3.0 and Talk Radio Network.